Bibles, if you would, to chapters 9, 10, 11. We're going to start reading at 11 of Romans tonight. I want to look at a couple of verses in each one of those chapters. These chapters cover a very important subject. The question is, what is going on with Israel? And what is the importance of Israel? We hear questions being raised all the time. As you've heard us talk about, I think one of the most dreadful things, and there were several, I think one of the most dreadful things that happened in our last administration that we had here in the country, I think there was two things that was most dreadful. There was a lot of things, but two. One was the passage of the rights for same-sex marriage. The second thing that even more egregious was the hatred of Israel. And, you know, the funny thing about it is you've got a party that wants to destroy the current president right now because supposedly somehow Russia interfered some way in the election, because no one's supposed to go into other countries and interfere. Yet it was proven, obvious, that our past president interfered in Israel's election. Put a lot of money, tried to steer and tried to change that election. He openly electioneered against him. I said all that to say this. We wonder how important Israel is. I get a feeling that Israel is getting more important every moment. The church less. The Bible talks about the progression or degression of the church from the apostles' times all the way down. And when God, here we're going to read a word here in a moment, he's going to talk about the fullness of the Gentiles. The word fullness means when the number is full, when it is full. Only God knows. Somebody said, when is he coming back? When the number gets full. What's the number? I don't know, not even the angels in heaven know. But God knows. When that happens, there's going to be some unusual things happen. We're waiting on that to happen. But right before it happens, you're going to see a lot of things with the church. The churches are going to materialize. It's going to be all about material things. It's going to all be about having need of nothing. It's going to be about not seeing any needs that they have. It's going to be about losing sight, vision of loss. And all of a sudden, somewhere along the way, when the fullness gets there and the number gets full, a shout, a trump, and everybody saved will leave. Then we'll find out where Israel, that they have not been forgotten. They will go through a period that Ezekiel says in chapter 20 that they will pass underneath a rod. It will be the time of Jacob's trouble. But it is to purify them for all the rebellion that they've done. They have been rebellious ever since Isaiah wrote in chapter 52 and 53. They have been rebellious against God with the gospel. Let's read on. And somebody said, well, I think God's through with Israel because of rejection. Paul wrote in chapter 11, verse 1, said, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, and Paul said, don't even begin to think that God's forgot anything about Israel. In chapter 9, first verse, Paul said this, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites. Now, so what he's saying is, he says, listen, I've got this great burden for Israel because he loved Israel, and Israel was God's people. And God spent, here, Paul spent the next chapter, chapter 9, the rest of it, telling about the sovereignty of God. God can do whatever he wants to with whatever people he wants to. And all the things that he chose to do with Israel. Somebody said, well, he showed favor to Israel. He absolutely did. And the reason why he did is because salvation was going to come out of Israel. You might say, well, I thought he was no respecter of persons. No, he is. But he's not according to salvation, nor is he according to judgment, nor is he according to rewards. But he was a respecter of persons when he called Abraham. And through Abraham's loins, he promised that the world would be blessed through Abraham and through the nation of Israel. They were his people. They were his wife. Even though divorced, they were his wife. And of course, the church is the bride of Christ. So then we find in verse number 32 of chapter 9, Paul writes, but Israel, which followeth after the law of righteousness, had not obtained to the law of righteousness. He said, even though they follow after a law of righteousness, they've not obtained it. Why? He says in verse 32, wherefore, because they sought it not by what? But as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. In other words, Paul said the reason why they stumbled is because they were trying to work their salvation out, and they rejected the fact that they had to believe in Jesus. And they didn't give faith. They didn't put it in faith. Then in chapter 10, again, he lets his desire know about Israel. He said, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they what? Might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In other words, Israel was still trying to perform works, and they thought works was what pleased God and somehow would obtain them salvation. You know, that's why we need to understand salvation is by faith. When you get saved and you start questioning, well, I don't understand. How can God save me knowing who and what I am? He does it by grace through faith. In other words, he does it for Christ's sake, not for your sake. You obtain righteousness by believing in Jesus. And Israel refused to do that as a whole. Now, there was part of them, we'll get to in just a moment. But notice if you would, on down in verse number 8. We talk about, we preach these verses of salvation, and they can be. But remember that Paul's talking about Israel. In verse number 7, he says, who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. So how are we saved? By believing. You're believers. You say, well, preacher, I just don't think I live up to what a Christian ought to live up to. That's one thing. But being saved is another thing. Salvation comes by believing. Amen? Now, stay with me a minute. Notice if you would, in verse number 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. That means whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now notice this. Starting here, they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? In other words, he said, now Isaiah said that not all of Israel is going to believe. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, the majority of them was not going to. Now he goes on, he explains this in a few minutes, and we're not going to read all of it, but he explains that God allowed them to be blinded because of their unbelief. He allowed them to be blinded for a period of time. Let's continue reading. Verse 17. So then, verse 16 again, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? What's the next word? Yes, verily their sound went into where? All the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not of me after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. On down in chapter 11 a little bit. He says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wrought ye not what the scripture saith of Isaiah, how that he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. That was Elijah, rather. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this what? Present time. Paul said, okay. He said, what happened was, has God completely lost track and give up on Israel? God forbid. He said, even though the majority of them has not believed the report, the gospel, now have they had the opportunity? Yes. Have they heard the gospel? Yes. It went into all the world. They are without excuse. But they did not believe it. But even though they did not believe it, he said, you need to understand. What did Elijah say? He said, I'm alone and I'm over here by myself. And God said, no, there's 7,000 that's not bowed their knee to Baal. In other words, he said, Elijah, what you don't realize is I have kept a remnant of Jews. And can I say this? There is still a remnant of Jews being kept by God. There is still a group being saved. They're being saved the same way we are. There's no difference in believing now between the Jew and the Greek. We all believe the same way. But I want you to understand, not all Jews are lost. There are a remnant that God continues to maintain. And he will carry that remnant on. And not only that, but when the church is taken out, there will be a remnant of 144,000 of the tribes of Jacob that are ready to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom to the world. And you say, where are they at? God knows where they're at. And by the way, they're not in these kingdom come Jehovah Witness buildings. That's not where they're at. It's Jews waiting to be called forth. You say, are they living now? It depends on when God's going to fill up the number, when he's going to send forth his the call for the saints, and when he's going to allow the transformation. Somebody asked me the other day, do you, I think the Antichrist is alive right now? I don't know, but he absolutely could be. Only God knows. God knows all those things. Chris told me the other day, she was somewhere, this lady was talking about Social Security, and thought she's going to have to get a new Social Security card. And she's saying, I don't want no sixes on my new card. And you know, people think that's the mark of the beast. But my friend, if you're saved, it'll have no bearing upon you. You'll be gone when that takes place. But now, go on and finish reading with me a little bit. Let me read just a little bit more. He says, even verse 5, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, he said, there's a remnant, but you need to understand. They are saved by grace through faith, just like you are. They have believed. There are some that have believed. Not all, but some. Now, going on down, we won't read all that, but skip on down, if you would, to verse number 26. And in between there, what God explains is this. There's a mystery that a lot of people didn't understand, and Paul said, I want you to understand the mystery. There's two or three times he explains mysteries. Mysteries are things that wasn't well known in the Old Testament that people didn't get, but now he's making known. And so there's two or three mysteries that God reveals. One is the mystery of the rapture, what we call the rapture. No, I know the word's not used, but it is the catching away of the saints. That was never taught, or that was never foresaw, never dealt with much in the Old Testament, because they didn't realize that before there's going to be a coming of Jesus down upon the Mount of Olives, where he plants his feet, there's going to be one where he comes back in the air and calls away the saints. And see, they didn't understand that there was going to be a group of people. When John the Baptist came as a forerunner, and Jesus came, and his apostles came, preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, if Israel had of accepted Jesus, the kingdom would have come in. But they rejected Jesus. And when they rejected Jesus, there was a point after the preaching so much, there was a point where Jesus turned from them and turned to the church. And he established a church. And upon this church, he built upon that rock, he built his church. The rock of that he was the Christ, the Son of living God. And now through the church, Jew and Gentile can be saved. But the church has been called out. And we've been separated out. And we have been living in a church age. Soon the church age will be over. And Israel will come back into sight. But until that time comes, we are living in the church age. And so what we need to understand is that God is not through with Israel. But it's been a mystery that they don't understand, that one of these days the church was to come, and when God's through with the church, he's going to catch them away before the tribulation time. Now, there's some people that teaches the church is going to go through the tribulation. Let me tell you this. The church is not, or the tribulation is not designed for the church. It's designed for Israel. And it's because of the rebellion of Israel and their rejection. Now, the church is going to be gone. Then Israel is going to go through this 7-year period. At the end of that, then Jesus, and they're going to go, by the way, the 144,000, is going to preach the same message Jesus and John the Baptist did. Prepare for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's going to be at hand, because in 7 years, if we understand Scripture, it's going to come in after the tribulation starts. And Jesus is going to set and establish the kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. Now, getting on beyond that, let's turn back, if you would, in chapter 26. There's another mystery, or verse 26, chapter 11. There's another mystery that Israel didn't understand. Look, if you would, in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this what? Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the what? Fullness of the Gentiles be come in. In other words, until God is full and the number is full, then there's a blindness that's happened. On over in this chapter, he called it a hardness. A hardness means that they were not able to see spiritual truths. Look on, if you would, in verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. Now notice that. They are enemies for who? What happened was this. God said, I came to Israel. Israel rejected me. They rejected me. They rejected me. They rejected me. When Jesus came into his own received him not. And what happened for our sakes, Jesus turned and said, okay, Gentiles, I want you brought in. Now you all get to come in. Now there's going to be a time I'm going to build my church. And my church is going to build, and there's going to be a time when the fullness of it complete, and God knows when, and when that number hits, day, night, wherever it is, we're seeing the signs of it everywhere around us. We're seeing the signs through the church and through Israel. Now stay with me a minute. And so he said the mystery is that Israel didn't understand is this. They thought they were God's people. Even the Pharisees and Sadducees, they wasn't even close to the kingdom of God, and yet they thought that they were in God's grace and in the midst of God's favor because they were Abraham's children. But we find through the teaching of Paul that there is a natural Israel and there is a spiritual Israel. The spiritual Israel are those that are saved by grace. Now, I know there's a lot of doctrine built up in all this stuff, and they try to build up a doctrine of sovereign grace and this, that God determines who's going to be saved, but that's not what he's teaching at all. But he did allow, because of the hardness of Israel's heart, for them to be blinded for a period of time. Why? For all of our sakes. Does that mean that Israel doesn't have the opportunity? No, but it means that Israel will not find God through the ways of Israel of trying to work their own righteousness out. If they find God, they got to find him through Christ. And Christ is a stumbling block right now to most of them. Okay? Now look back, if you would, in chapter 26 or 27. He says, and this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. In other words, he said, now listen, I have elected Abraham's children, Israel. I've got purposes. I got plans. And so therefore, I'm going to come. Now, the only trouble is with Israel is this. They have rejected their attitude. They've rejected the promise of salvation in Christ because they rejected the person of Jesus. Not only that, they've the plan of God of salvation. They refuse to allow Christ to be their propitiation. In other words, they don't believe that he is the substitute for their sins. Not only that, but they've also rejected and had antagonism toward the preaching of the gospel because they don't like the preaching of Christ. So therefore, they reject, for the most part, the New Testament. Look on, if you would, in verse 29. He says, now they're enemies for our sakes, but as touching the election, God loves them still. Now, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, when God said and he promised and he gave Abraham a promise, it's without repentance. And he said the gifts that he gives us and callings and so forth. He says in verse 30, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, let me read the last one, I'll quit. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment, his ways past filling out. Look here. He says this, he said, okay, he said, what you need to understand is, he said, because for your sakes and your unbelief, you Gentiles and so forth, they have been blinded and you have found mercy. He said, now through the church, they're going to find mercy. And through that. Now, let me show you. God loves them. He's never stopped loving them. But let me show you a couple things real quickly, if you would. First of all, let me say this. God's going to be glorified in his sovereignty. Because what God says is going to happen is going to happen.
Amen.
When he looked at Abraham and he promised Abraham certain things way down the road, everything's going to happen. Nobody can stop what's happening and what's going to happen with Israel. Somebody said, well, don't they have choices? They have choices, but as a whole, they're going to happen because God's done prophesied it's going to happen. So God's going to get glory out of that. And not only that, he's going to get glory out of his integrity because of his faithfulness. Whenever they get together and they're in their kingdom once again, after all they've done and all their unbelief, and they recognize all the sin and wickedness they've done, how they killed the prophets and stoned them and rejected Jesus, the cornerstone, and all those things, they're going to have nothing but praise for the faithfulness of God, that he loved them even though they didn't deserve it. Just like when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to praise God because he allowed Israel to go through this that we might be saved. Not only that, but we also glorify God for his generosity. He loved us enough that even though we didn't deserve it, he wanted to give us mercy. And then through the church and preaching of the church, and he wants to give Israel mercy. Now notice this just a moment. He knows, if you would, back again in chapter 11, look back one more time in verse number 5. Even so then, at this present time, there is a what? Remnant. Why is there a remnant? Well, one is God's love to Israel. In verse 21 there, he said, but to Israel, he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands. In verse chapter 10, verse 21. It says, but unto Israel, he saith, all day long I've stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. In other words, he said, you know, I love you. That's why the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us.
Amen.
He still loved us. Why else? Because in verse 16 of chapter 10, notice, the Bible says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed thy report? Not all of them did, but some of them did. And listen, there's a lot of Gentiles not going to believe the gospel, but there's going to be some that did. And can I just stop and say this? You know, there's a Christmas story. There's a Christmas story in Isaiah that tells about the virgin birth. And his name should be called these five things. The first one's wonderful. You know why he's wonderful? He's wonderful to me because he saved my soul. Wonderful to me because of what he's done for me. Now, not only that, but also, Why is Israel still finding favor with him and a remnant found? Look, if you would, in verse number 17. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? You know why there's some Jews still being saved? Because the word of God is that powerful. The preaching of the word of God is powerful enough to save Jews. Not only that, but look in verse 14. There's still some that's willing to go out and preach. How shall they hear? How shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? There's still some willing to go out and preach the truth. And last but not least, in verse 12 and 13, notice it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is rich over all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Grace is still available. It's available to us. It's available to the Jew. Now listen to me, if you're sitting here as a Gentile, you need to understand a great mystery of God is that he allowed Israel to be sidelined for a period of time for the church age. And he allowed the church age for us, Gentiles, to be brought in. We didn't deserve it. He loved us. And so he's giving you the opportunity to hear the gospel being preached. And if you die in your rejection of Jesus, there'll be no hope for you. And in the same token, he is still preaching the gospel to the Jews. And there is still some believing. And as we speak right now, there is still remnants of Israel that are saved. And they'll still be. Even though when Jesus came, it was one of the most spiritual dead times in Israel's history. But there was still Anna. There was still Simeon. There were still others that was looking for his coming because they were still believers. Amen. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. And thank God for his sovereign plan that he made a way that all could be brought in. to his saving graces. Amen. Let's stand tonight if you would.